Good morning, everybody. How's everybody doing? Hey. That is a better response than I got from the Camp Leatherneck students this morning, so you're a great bit ahead. Well, I thought that I would start off, since I'm kind of new here, I figured I'd start off by giving you a 30 seconds on my background, and then I'll get into my presentation. And you know, it's Thursday morning, but I did bring my Monday, Wednesday, Friday lecture, so we should get out of here in 50 minutes if all goes well. I've been in academia, you know, 30 some odd years. This is my fourth university that I've been at, and you know, I've moved through. I did research for a while. I taught. I'm a chemical engineer by background. And, you know, I came in here and I thought I was going to be the provost, but people had some other ideas. So I'm real thrilled to be able to be here and to be able to talk with you and give you a sense of what I've learned really in the 7 weeks that I've been here, and give you some background on things that we're going to do and talk about some of the things that were happening. So 30 some odd years as an academic, and I can tell you it's precisely 32 years that I've been married, and my wife, Nancy, is here with us today, and I have gone through. And Nancy, come on, stand up. And I can tell you that without her, this 32 years would not have worked out well for me. She's really been by my side and helping me out, and really not only just a big supporter and advocate, but a partner in moving through and helping me to be successful. So I really appreciate everything that she's done and helping us to get here. I want to introduce also a couple of other folks who are here in the audience that are critical to our success here at Western Illinois. First of all, chair of our board, Polly Radosh, is here with us. Polly, thank you. We also have board member Eric Dolslager, who is not sitting in the front row like he's supposed to. Eric, thank you for being here with us. And our student trustee, Justin Brown. I don't know. Justin is right here. Very good. Thank you, Justin. Big supporter and advocate for Western Illinois, our state representative, Noreen Hammond. Thank you, Noreen. A gentleman that I've gotten to know a fair bit over the past 6 weeks. He's really been a tremendous supporter and asset for Western Illinois. I'd like to thank the mayor of Macomb, Mr. Mayor Mike Inman. Mayor. One of the things that we've been trying to do over the past 6 weeks, and certainly on the agenda for us, that's particularly important, is to build better relations, increase and improve our relationships with folks in the community. I know that I've seen, as I walked around a little bit earlier here this morning, I've seen several members of the community, several community leaders that are here with us. If you're a member of MADECO and some of the other community organizations, I'd like for you to please rise and be recognized for some of the things that you've contributed as well. Thank you. Thank you. And, you know, the other important piece that we have is there's a tremendous number of people that I've gotten to know. And I actually, as I was introducing my wife, I went across the front, and I think I passed the test because I knew most of the people sitting in the front two rows over here, the deans, the vice presidents, the provost, and all of the other, some of the other student and faculty leaders who are here. And these folks are critical to our success, and I'd like for them to please rise and be recognized and thank them for all that they do on behalf of the university as well. You guys got to stand up. No, you guys over here too, these folks. Yep. They're all bashful. They don't want to get in there. So, and everybody else, I mean, this is really a university-wide effort. We're gonna do some great things together over the next, I don't know, for the next few years and into the foreseeable future. We've got a great time ahead of us, and so I want to thank all of you for being here, for participating, all of the things that you're going to contribute to us as well. And so I really want to thank everybody for what you do and how you contribute to Western. We'll talk more about that as we get into some of the presentation and some of the other types of things that are I'm going to be able to talk about. What I want to spend the first, 10, 15 minutes talking about are some things that have occurred over the past year or so that we should be proud of. There's a lot of things that happen at Western. These are just a few highlights. But I want to start off really thinking about the things that we do that we can be especially proud of. And so we've picked a couple of items that we want to talk about, and we'll get them up on the screen here so that we can see a little bit about what we're talking about. And I want to start off with an activity that Susan Stewart up on our Quad Cities campus has been engaged with. And she's taught in human resource management. She's taught courses up here for 11 years. She founded the HRM program up in Quad Cities. She's actively been involved in placing students in internships. And she's been appointed as the McDonough, the Cecil P. McDonough Endowed Professorship in Business. It's designed to recognize people with the highest level of scholarship and university instruction, and we're really proud of all the things that Susan has contributed and the work that she's done. So there we are. There's the slide. Management and marketing professor. If Susan is here, I think she's here. Susan, if you could stand up wherever you are and be recognized for what you've done. We really appreciate your contributions on behalf of Western Illinois. Next, I want to recognize Peter Cole. Peter has been involved in a number of art projects, and he inspired the launch of a public art project commemorating the 100th anniversary of the Chicago Peace Riots. And he received some funding, $2,500, from the Illinois Humanities Council. And, you know, one of the things that I've come to learn, when you get any money to do humanities and arts projects, it doesn't matter how small the number is, getting support for an arts project is huge. People don't, for whatever reason, people don't give big dollar amounts for that. So Peter got $2,500 from the Illinois Humanities Council, developed this project. He's got a book, Dock Worker Power, Race and Activism in Durban and the San Francisco Bay Area. It was nominated or was honored with the Philip Taft Prize in Labor and Working Class History. 45 books nominated for this prize, and his book was selected. Peter, if you would stand up and be recognized for this great accomplishment and the work that you're doing, we'd appreciate it. Peter, up in the back. Thank you. I next want to talk about a group of students that Lindsay White and Lorette Oden took to Ecuador. They took a week-long trip, visited a number of hospitals, Student School of Nursing, Department of Social Work. They visited a number of hospitals, a number of sites, went out and helped the indigenous the population down there in Ecuador, helping to provide health care services for these individuals, many of whom weren't going to get any health care in any other way. They worked with Western alum Oscar Aguirre. They spent time at the Panda Vita Health Fair, over 200 people who got free health checks. The students were, providing this service without their support. These are the types of things that our students can do because of the education that we're able to provide for them here at Western. And I know Lindsay and Lorette are here in the audience. If you guys would stand up as well and be recognized for the things that you've done on behalf of our students, we'd like to thank you as well. We have another student, Devin, and I need the slide so I can get Devin's last name. Devin Brooks, thank you. Devin is a student reporter and anchor at News 3. And he was named one of five winners the National Academy of Television Arts and Sciences Mid-America Foundation Walter Cronkite Scholarship. Now, when I was a kid, I grew up on Walter Cronkite. So for somebody to be named a Walter Cronkite Scholar is just, to me, it's a phenomenal thing. First place in the Illinois News Broadcasters Association for outstanding television news reporting. He's also won awards for his reporting for the College Media Association and the National Broadcasting Society. And this summer, he was an intern at WREX in Rockford, and he also last summer interned at WGEM in Quincy. And I don't think Devin is with us, but we really, you know, again, want to recognize Devin and recognize also what Devin symbolizes, the internship that he did with really local television stations, getting involved, participating in the community, contributing, and giving back. And one of the messages that I really like to emphasize, and I know when I talk to the mayor, I reiterate this multiple times, Western Illinois needs Macomb. Western Illinois needs Quad Cities in order for us to be successful. And I know that these two, this whole community, Western Illinois as a region in the state, needs the university in order to be successful. And so these partnerships typify the types of things that we can do together and the way that we can move things along. I want to talk a little bit about the GIS folks and the work that they did this summer. Chad Sperry is engaged with GIS, and he and a number of his students this summer spent a lot of time out on the Illinois River working and trying to chart exactly where the river was, where flooding was occurring, what was going on, produced a dashboard that allowed our first responders to pull up photographs, drone video footage, understanding where these floods and these issues were impacting the state, allowing our folks to get out there, the first responders, to be effective in meeting the needs and getting out and working towards trying to mitigate the impacts of these events. Chad's also been involved with his folks at GIS Center creating a map of warming centers for Illinois residents so that back in the winter, you know, when we had that polar vortex, and I happened to be in Chicago for the polar vortex, it was pleasant, but Chad and his folks were creating a map of the things that were going on or of the warming centers so people could stay warm. And I know Chad is with us today. Chad, where are you? Please stand and be recognized for all the work that you do. He's got people he wants to stand, so the rest of the folks that are with him, please, thank you for everything that you've done. We have a phenomenal honors college at the university, and one of the people that we wanted to recognize was our student, one of our students, a student recipient of the Barry Goldwater Scholarship. Mariah Dixon was selected for this. And if you've gotten to know Mariah, and I happen to get a chance to meet her, actually at Heritage Days, Mariah's a phenomenal young lady. She came over to me to introduce herself and tell me a little bit about what she was engaged in and what she was involved with. And Mariah is just a phenomenal young lady, one of 14 college students in Illinois named as a Goldwater Scholar. She's, one of only four students in public higher education in the state of Illinois. And, you know, she works, minors in chemistry and French. She's undergraduate in biology. She served as captain of the Marching Leathernecks Color Guard. She's vice president of the Water Polo Club, treasurer and co-founder of a tennis club, sisterhood chair for Sigma 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 Sorority. Mariah has just been a tremendous demonstration of the types of things that our Western Illinois students can accomplish. And You know, getting to know people like Mariah, I can tell you that the Western Illinois student is as outstanding as a student from anywhere in the state of Illinois, from anywhere in the country. We have very much to be proud of in what our students can accomplish. Next, I want to pick on one of our vocalists from the School of Music. Dr. Shimada has won the American Prize. Penelope Shimada, Shimate, I think, has won the Penelope Prize, the American Prize in Vocal Performance, 2018-19, and appears at Carnegie Hall, Geffen Hall in Lincoln Center in New York City. Critical acclaim by the New York Times, the New York Concert Review. Her WIU Voice students' off-campus successes include being selected for international and national voice training programs. They've won awards in vocal competitions, including the Metropolitan Opera National Council auditions and NATS. And the students, now remember, this is the students, have been hired for professional performance engagements. And she will be returning to Carnegie Hall for her 15th soloist appearance as the soprano soloist in Messiah coming up this coming year. So if she would, Penelope, if you would stand up and be recognized for the outstanding, thank you. I got one more group of people to recognize. Heather McIlvain-Nawad and Gloria Delaney Barman has also been involved in taking our students on a trip. They went to Puerto Rico. And some of you may remember there was a tremendous hurricane that went through Puerto Rico back in the fall of 17. And she worked with a number of folks, or they worked with a number of folks from Spoon River College, and took a number of the students to Puerto Rico, working to assist with clean water efforts, received a grant for the international travel, provides for the development of long-term and short-term study abroad opportunities, as well as scholarships for taking part in the resulting courses. This is another important component of what we do. One of my objectives that I'd like to see us do more of is give our students the opportunities to travel, to study abroad, to get engaged in these outreach events locally, statewide, nationally, but internationally as well. These international experiences, I can tell you from firsthand experience with my own daughter, the international experiences change people. They are life-changing events. And if we can provide those opportunities to our students, we're going to do a world of good for our students and for them after they graduate, the community, and the places they go. If Heather and Gloria would please stand up and be recognized for the works that they've done, I'd be appreciated. Thank you. All right. We've got lots more that we could have picked from. I know this is just a short list. I know a lot of you are engaged in various activities, and I really want to thank you for all that you do. It's been a great 6-7 weeks getting to know about some of the things that go on and getting to learn about what's happening. I want to spend the rest of the presentation, the rest of the time now, talking about what we need to do going forwards. One of the things, you know, that I've read recently is a quote, and I want to share with you. I'm going to paraphrase. James Baker, you may remember, was in Ronald Reagan's chief of staff in his first term, and Ronald Reagan inherited in 1980 an economy that was economy that was not doing very well. High inflation, high unemployment. It was just a bad time. And James Baker said to Ronald Reagan, apparently, this is what it's reported to say. He says there's three things that we have to focus on, and all of them are the economy. Well, to paraphrase James Baker here at Western Illinois, there are three things we need to focus on, and all of them are enrollment. And so I want to spend a... couple of minutes, first of all, looking at some history on enrollment and then kind of talking a little bit about what we can do as a group, because it's really all of us that have to be engaged, what we can do as a group in order to help us address some of the enrollment issues. So if we can get that first slide talking about a little bit on history from enrollment, we've got some numbers that we have put together, and I guess there we go. This is a little bit of the enrollment trends over the last 5 years. And what you've got up here is I'm not going to point to numbers. You can read the slides, and they'll get us going. And that's the 5 years on new student enrollment. And you can see that in the last couple of years, numbers haven't been so good. You probably can't read the actual numbers up there. But those are declines by 400 or so new students per year over the last several years. Well, the good news is we're not declining that much this year. We're still dropping. We're still declining. But we're not declining as much this year as we have in previous years. And one of the things I've told the admissions folks, and Doug likes to close his ears and not listen when I say these things, but I've put a charge to the admissions folks, is that when I show you this chart next year, that last bullet is going to be higher than what ultimately that bullet is for the 2019 fall semester. We're going to turn this around. Our incoming class is going to be bigger next year than it is this year. That's our goal. I will tell you, and Doug will appreciate this part, this is a tough goal for us to meet. This is going to be a hard challenge. But I am confident that we can roll up our sleeves and get this done, and we can achieve that objective. By the way, what I didn't point out, but also on that slide, we're not going to achieve that by decreasing the quality of the students that we're admitting. What you may have noticed on that slide is the average GPA of an incoming student has gone up over the last several years. So we're going to continue to improve quality at the same time as we're working on the quantity issue. So that's number one on the enrollment side. And we've got some, I'll give you a few other things in a few minutes about what we're looking at in terms of how we're doing things. The other piece on enrollment that we need to look at, and maybe I can actually give you, well, I did give you the next slide, but you got to go back to the slides. The other thing that I can give you on the enrollment side is it's not just about new students coming in, right? The other thing that we have to look at is what are we doing with the students that we have? This is our retention data for the last 4 years, and an estimate of what this fifth year is going to look like, the current year, because we don't have the actual numbers for the current year. Right now, as of today, or as of a couple of days ago, it was actually just a tick higher than where we were last year, but we know we're going to have 400 or 500 more students still registering between now and the 10th day of the semester when we take our official data. So we're anticipating a number that's going to be up by a couple of percent from last year. But I can tell you, if you look at these numbers, we've dropped off in the past couple of years. And I don't even care, at the highest end where we were at 69%, that's not good enough. That means that practically one out of every three students that we take in does not come back for their sophomore year. That is not acceptable. We have got to work on that number and work on moving that number up to a much higher rate. So that's going to be part of what we work on as we go forwards. So that's the next piece. All right. So I've given some indications of things we have to do. How are we going to get there? One of the things I did about the third week of July was I put together a couple of what I call tiger teams. And if you've been in business and you've worked with companies, what they do with these tiger teams, whenever they have a fairly substantial problem or an issue that they really want to address, they'll put together one of these groups. And it's typically a fairly small group, 6 to 10 people, and they get a very direct question or charge that they have to answer. And it's one kind of one very, very concise topic, one very precise point. And it's not a typical university committee where you study a problem for a year and you think about it and you write a report and hopefully something happens. It's very targeted, very directed. I have a problem. What am I going to do to help fix that problem? And so I put together actually four of these groups back at in the middle of July. And I said to them something that unheard of at a university is, I want preliminary information from you. I said, you're going to have until about the middle of September to actually come up with robust recommendations. But I said, by the second week of August, I want to have preliminary information because I want to be able to share that at university assembly. And so we had four groups of people spending a fair bit of time looking at some of the challenges. What can we do differently in a very short period of time in order to help the admissions folks meet our objective of increasing the number of incoming students in fall of 20 so that it's higher in fall of 20 than it is in fall of 19. And then the second objective that I have, which is perhaps an even tougher goal, but I think, again, we can get it done, is that by the fall of 2021, the overall enrollment at this university starts to move in a positive direction, starts to go up. Okay? This is a big challenge because, remember, I just shared with you a set of numbers. These numbers have been going down for 3-4 years by large amounts. I mean, we've lost 800-900 students per year for the last 3 or 4 years. We're taking in smaller classes than graduating classes, and yet I think that in 2 years' time, we can put programs in place that we can start to turn those numbers around. And so some of the things that we're going to look at, and I've listed these ideas, initiatives, and actions. These are not well-formed yet. They're kind of just, you know, brainstorming things that the groups have put together that we can look at and we can try and evaluate and figure out how we actually implement some of these ideas. So if you see something up here and you're kind of scratching your head and not sure if we can do it or not sure if this is something we even want to do, don't worry about that. Let us know. Obviously, we want to hear from you. But these are not things we are doing. These are things we are thinking about doing. So first thing that we can do, from an enrollment standpoint, right? We have an on-campus experience. As students, prospective students are coming in and they're considering coming to Western Illinois, we give them an on-campus experience. We have Discover Western Days. And I actually, you know, I haven't been to a Discover Western Day. I can't tell you exactly how good it is yet. But I think, and the folks on the team believe that it can be better. And so they're going to look at their Discover Western event. They're going to figure out what we can do. They're going to try to revamp it. And one of the things that I would say I'd like to also see us do is we need to get the faculty and staff engaged so that we can make sure that what we're doing at a Discover Western event highlights all of the good things that are going on at Western Illinois. We want to get these kids excited about coming to Western Illinois when they come here for a visit. Number two, create a financial strategy to support enrollment. You know, I know we have a scholarship program that addresses the incoming students, both new freshmen and transfer students. I think we need to look at that pretty carefully, figure out where the sweet spot is for our incoming students? What are the right metrics to use to find a student that we can successfully compete for with the right level of scholarship support? We can beat out other universities. You know, for the right type of student and the right type of scholarship support, students are going to come here versus going to University of Illinois or, you know, any other choice that they might have, because we're going to offer the right mix of programs at the right price point and give them the right student experiences, and we beat them all out and they'll come here, and we just have to put our programs together and figure out where those spots are and value what we can do. We're going to talk about enhanced marketing, talk about targeted marketing strategies, and look at things that we should be doing. And as I'm looking at that, I'm realizing that we missed something that I wanted to share with you. And we'll come back to that in just a second as we look at the marketing strategies again just a little bit. And then the other piece, and this really, you know, I talked to the department chairs. This week has been a blur. I think it was Monday I talked to department chairs. And I pointed out that, you know, the experience that the students get here at Western Illinois, a lot of it comes back to the academic experience. That means the departments. That means the individual faculty. I feel very strongly that the faculty are the lifeblood of the university. And the faculty, the experience the students get from the faculty is critical to their success. And the programs that we offer provide the opportunity for prospective students to come here and be successful. So we're going to look at our program offerings, and we're going to figure out where we can offer some things that give us an edge, that work better, that get us going in different ways, and evaluate how we can put those programs in place and start doing some new and creative and innovative things. So if you've got an idea for something that we should be offering that we're not doing, and you think it's a good opportunity, we want to hear about it. Talk about it with your chairs, talk about it with your colleagues, figure out how we can implement it, and let's talk about what we can do. Let me come back to the marketing, because we have a marketing piece that I know our marketing folks have put together that kind of talks about the brand that we're going to be developing. What does it mean to be at Western? And we've got the brand refresh that we're talking about, and here, I don't know you probably haven't seen it a whole lot yet because it's just coming forwards, but this is we're going to use this W a whole lot more than we have and start to build the brand of what is Western Illinois, what is the experience that you get here at Western Illinois. So if we could see the video of the Western Illinois experience, that would be a good place to start. If you've got that, Phil, here we go.
In teaching tradition, the desire to impact lives through education marks our Western identity. We believe every student with the hope to succeed deserves a chance at our institution. We're invested in honing each student's individual strengths to turn that hope into promise. Our commitment shows in everything that we do. It guides our faculty with empathy. It grows our students with courage. It moves each of us with purpose. In Macomb and Quad Cities, all walks of life meet to share cultures, ideas, and aspirations. Together, our students welcome new perspectives, helping them bring true value wherever they go next. Whatever the next challenge or change we face, our fighting spirit strengthens and evolves. With fortitude, we remain devoted to our vision. Brave and loyal, we stand as Leathernecks. For our students, for our region, for our state, and beyond. And when we stand together, we stand up for what matters, going forth as one. And that unity takes us far beyond what we've ever imagined.
All right. I think that really highlights some of the real excellence that we have at Western. I was real thrilled to see that, and I'm real proud of all the things that are demonstrated and accomplished in there. All right, let's talk a little bit about retention as well. That's the next item that was on the list of things that we can do, and there are a number of items up there that are important, and I think a lot of things that we need to look at as we continue to look at our students and try to help them to be successful. But I think the most impactful one is to understand that we are first and foremost the faculty, the staff that are interacting with students, first and foremost on the front lines in helping our students to be successful. You know, it says up here, implement and expand early intervention initiatives. Second item says campus-wide implementation of Grades First platform, right? What these are getting to is sometimes students don't really know when they need help. You can see it because they're not showing up to class like they normally do, or they maybe haven't performed as well on a homework or a test or a project. But the students, you know, they believe that they're strong, they're very capable, and they are, but something's going on that maybe they're not performing or they're not working as well as they should. And we have to go out and maybe sometimes be a little proactive to help them, to reach out to them and let them know that we're there to provide whatever support it is that they need. And so that really is the kind of the first piece there, is to be a little more, figure out ways that we as a university can be proactive in reaching out and addressing some of those issues that the students are doing. The third bullet talks about advising practices, best practices in advisor position and advisor positions. And I, you know, one of the things that you find as you look at the statistics and you look at the students and you look at student performance and so on is, in fact, student athletes. I look at Danielle over here, and I know she'll be thrilled to hear this, but student athletes actually succeed at a higher rate than do other students at the university. And there are a lot of reasons for that. But one of the reasons that why that happens is because there's a set of advisors that are in their face making sure they do all the things that they need to do in order to be successful. They go to class. They do their homework. They get their things done. And we need to be able to take a look at how those students and those advisors interact, and to the extent we can, give all of our students that level of support. And so looking at those advisor opportunities, I think are also important. And we probably can't replicate that for all of our students, but we need to figure out ways to get our advisors in there and be more effective. This one talks about a particular math course, Math 099, I'm sure is a remedial math course. It's one that we look at that students generally stumble through if they even make it through. But it's not just that one. I think we need to look at all of our courses. There are a whole bunch of them students don't succeed in. And there's a whole lot of reasons why students don't succeed in any given course. I mean, some of the remedial things, there's, you know, we understand that a little bit better, but in all of the classes. And one of the things that I think we need to look at is, why do students not succeed in whatever class we're talking about? And there are a lot of reasons why that could be, but I think we can go back, and as a university, we can look at all of these classes, and in your individual programs, you know where these courses are. You know where the stumbling blocks are. Well, we need to figure out how to make it so that those courses aren't gateways, you know, aren't roadblocks to success, but rather gateways that we can open up and the students can pass through and be successful. And that just, that puts it back on us to develop those courses in the, and make sure they're sequenced right in the curriculum and whatnot so that our students can be successful. And that's our obligation. And I'm not talking about making the courses easy. I'm not talking about getting rid of the material. I'm talking about figuring out how we help our students to learn those things that we're expecting of them in a way in which they can be successful. It is no longer acceptable to say, oh yes, that's a very hard class. We expect 50% of our students to fail. And it's not an acceptable answer. We have to figure out better answers for that, because our goal is to graduate our students, not to watch them drop out with debt. That's a bad thing. We take in a lot of students, or a fair number of students, that we have questions about whether they can succeed based on their performance metrics in high school. That's the OAS program, which I've come to learn a little bit about. These are students that can succeed, need a little extra help. These are students that we need to give incentives to make sure they're doing all the right things, and I think that's a component of what we're going to look at as well. I put the last one up here because I just kind of like it. It's so simple in idea. It's like, okay, why do we have 17 different calendars that we ask people to look at? Wow. So we'll get that one fixed too. Other opportunities for enrollment. I told you I put four teams together. We talked about two. The first two were enrollment across the board and retention. The next one I want to talk about is graduate programs and international students. These are areas that, I mean, graduate students, if the data is correct, the last time I saw it, graduate student enrollment was up, I think one student. But it's up, okay? International, we don't really know where that is yet because they tend to come so late. But the graduate and international is an area that we have opportunities to grow. I'm told, and actually I've gotten to learn a little bit more in the past couple of days even, we have pretty good success in three countries in particular, India, Philippines, and Nigeria. So we should, one of the things that was suggested is let's invest more. Let's figure out ways to capitalize on what we're already doing in those countries so that we can get them more students from those areas. One of the questions then, make the admissions process more efficient and timely for graduate students and international students. I haven't gone through the admissions process here, but I know in a lot of cases, in particular with international students, the first place they get admitted to, that's the place they're going. So if we can have an admissions process that can take them from application to admission in a very short time cycle, a day or less, and it's a simple application, they're coming here because we're going to get out the door and we'll be the first ones to respond. So that's a good component of it. On the graduate side, we've got a number of cohort-based graduate programs. We typically only take cohorts in the fall. Maybe we can figure out a way we can do it in a spring semester admission. And in some of the online programs, it's not up here, maybe it'll be on the next one where we are talking about online. I don't think so, though. But for the online programs, why just fall and spring? We've got a population of students and a population of potential students, particularly up out of the Quad Cities, people who are working, full-time employed individuals, who in September may decide they'd like to go back to school and earn a credential, a master's degree, perhaps. And if they make that decision in September, today we tell them, well, we might be able to start you in January if we get some of these spring cohorts going. By January, they've picked a program, they're engaged, they're working with somebody else. We can't afford to wait. We have to find ways to be able to admit students when they're ready to start and get them going in their program. With online programs, we can have multiple starts a semester if we build it right. So that's another opportunity that we have that we can potentially look at. would look at new degree options, MBA plus something, new combinations, new components, dual degree programs, development of integrated degrees, increasing the accessibility of what we offer. These are all important elements of what we're trying to do. I am running late on my 50-minute lecture. I appreciate the class staying late today. Distance learning, and then we're just going to, and then we'll finish up with community engagement just pretty quickly on distance learning, because I already hit some of these, right? So distance learning, we're already doing a lot of good things, but we can do more. We can make it better. You know, one of the things I know from distance learning students, right, if they need help with financial aid, they're not coming to Macomb to go meet somebody. They're probably not going into Moline to go meet somebody either on the campus. They're just not, I mean, they're online students, and they expect if they need financial aid help, they can text somebody or they can chat with somebody over the computer. They're not getting financial aid help by showing up to an in-person activity. So if we're going to be able to support those students, it's not just financial aid. If we're going to support those students, we have to provide the services in the modality that they're taking classes. We got to figure that one out. 24/7 tech support is another idea that was kind of thrown out there, right? Again with online, some of the students, I mean, they'll do their classes 1, 2, 3 o'clock in the morning, or they want to be doing their classes at that hour. You know what? If they want their classes at that hour and they can't log in for some reason, they'd like to have somebody that they can call who can help them fix that problem at 1, 2, 3 o'clock in the morning, because, you know, at 8 o'clock in the morning, they're getting ready to go to work or doing something else. So we got to be able to address those problems pretty quickly. And there are a number of other ideas up there that we can look at as we look at bringing out new markets and new opportunities and new programs into the online. I want to finish up with a piece on community, with a piece on engagement, with a little discussion of inclusion as well. And so this gets to the idea of working together. I started off by telling you I've built a great relationship, or I feel like I've built a great relationship with the mayor, with Representative Hammond, some of the other leaders in the community, some of the folks that are here from Spoon River College. I had lunch yesterday with President of Spoon River, Kurt Oldfield, talking about things that we can do together and the ways we can partner. All of these are incredibly important to the success of what we're trying to do here in Western and for the success of Macomb. And I've been up in Quad Cities a little bit. I'm going to be up there a bit more, talking to the community up there, getting engaged with their Chamber of Commerce and their leadership, Moline and groups and so on. Because, again, it's not, I mean, here in Macomb, we absolutely have to be engaged. But likewise, up in Quad Cities, we absolutely have to be engaged and be part of the community. And I can tell you, I feel very strongly that if we do this right, our two campuses will benefit each other. There are things that we can do in Quad Cities we cannot do here in Macomb. And likewise, there are things we can do here in Macomb that we cannot do in Quad Cities. And we have to get this right. We have to do the right things in the right places. We have to get our students able to go back and forth to take advantage of what they're able to do on the two campuses. And we have to be completely engaged in doing all of these. A couple of other points that I want to make. First of all, learn from one another and really listen. We have to listen to what people are telling us. We have to learn from what they're saying. We have to adjust our thinking in some cases. Be open to dialogues and discussions. We have to be open, engaged, and willing to listen to what's going on. Be understanding of others and respectful of differing points of view. I'm not just talking about ethnic diversity. I'm not talking about cultural issues. I'm not talking just about gender. It's all types of issues. We all come from different places, right? I'm here in Western Illinois 6 weeks. Some of you have been here 60 years or longer. We bring different perspectives. We have to listen to each other. We have to appreciate what everybody brings to the table and what they can offer to these various points of view. I want to build a sense of community, a sense of belonging. I want everybody to believe that they are absolutely welcome here on campus, in the Quad Cities campus, in our communities, and to believe, not just believe, but to know that we have their back. To me, that's an incredibly important component of what we're going to be doing. And then the last piece here really is ensure a climate. It's more than just going, it's more than just a little bit of we say this or we do, it's a climate. A climate of respect, civil, supportive. This is important for us. I said enrollment, right, is first and foremost. If we can't deliver a climate that's respectful, that's supportive, we are not going to be able to achieve our enrollment targets. We're not going to be able to get the diversity of populations on this campus that we need in order to be successful. We're an educational institution. We need to learn from each other. That's part of what we deliver as a you know, an institution of higher education. That's what I'd like to achieve, and that's what I'd like to see Western become. I know we can get there. I know we can be successful. I think that this is a tremendous, you know, what I've learned, if I've learned nothing else in 6 weeks, I've learned that Western is a tremendous university with a phenomenal history of success. I've gotten to hear from alumni locally, some not so local, all want to tell me about the great experiences that they've had here at Western, how Western has changed their lives, how much of an impact it's had, how they've been here. They didn't think they were going to stay, but they ended up staying because it was such a great community that they were engaged in. I mean, the first couple of times you hear it, maybe you think that people are just being nice, but you hear it over and over and over. Everybody telling you just how wonderful the experiences have been, how great the community is. This is a phenomenal place to be. Every one of you should feel really good and really proud to be part of such a great institution. I know that I'm real thrilled to be able to be here. I feel like the luckiest guy in the world sometimes, given the opportunity that I've had to come here and to be able to be put in this role and to know that I have the support of, I don't know, probably close to 1,000 people in this room. Well, maybe not 1,000, but maybe, well, maybe it is. 1,000 people in this room and many thousands beyond, all who want to see Western Illinois be incredibly successful. I thank you for all that support. I will look forward to meeting you individually, those that I haven't met, and getting to know you a little bit better. I think it's going to be a great year. I'm looking forward to it. I appreciate your coming this morning. Thank you all.